it's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Zero Ducks Given, a little daily episode that we are doing throughout the England versus India Test Series. And even by his standards, I've just watched Daniel Norcross take an enormously long drag on a cigarette because it was tough viewing. I don't want to exaggerate and I don't want to be dramatic, but this is single-handedly the worst day of my life because I'm ill. Jurgen Klopp announced he's leaving Liverpool and England got absolutely battered all day in the cricket. So this is up there for me. It's probably the worst day of all time. Let's focus on the cricket out of those three things, Daniel. Obviously, England are still going to win the test match and win the series 5-0, like I said on the preview episode we did. But let's drift into a parallel universe where that doesn't happen. And I'm slightly concerned, Daniel, that India are way, way, way better than us in these conditions. I mean, they're probably better than us anyway, but I've got a worrying feeling that in these conditions, they're way better than us.
Yes, I think in England you equalise everything because England's bowling strength comes to the fore in English conditions, and for reasons of selection, and we didn't quite touch on it yesterday. We sort of touched on it a little bit in our preview podcast. It was a very Bazball thing to do, wasn't it, to leave out Jimmy Anderson? But they instead armed Ben Folkes with a new toy in Tom Hartley. And you've got to be very careful when you pass judgments on somebody making their first test match, especially someone who's young, has mostly played white ball cricket and has only got 21 first class games under his belt. But it's starting to look like not just a bad decision to have selected the three spinners, and it would probably have been Hartley who made way, but in so doing, it kind of played into one of the things that is both good and slightly awkward about Stokes' captaincy, because so much of Bazball is about vibe. It's about making everybody go onto the park with a smile on their face, enjoying their cricket, having fun. Stokes, I think, is acutely aware that Tom Hartley could have become a broken man very quickly if Stokes didn't keep on backing him. And as a result, he bowled too many overs on the first day. And we were calling for Joe Root to have bowled, you may recall, especially against the left-handed Jaiswal. And of course, what happens in the first over of the day? Joe Root finally bowls and gets out the left-hander. His 16th.
I did feel very smug when that happened after we both sat here saying you should have bowled at the left-hander yesterday. Got him out in the first over. I thought, oh my God, we actually got something right for once. That was a nice moment.
Well, yeah, I mean, all of these are counterfactuals. Maybe he wouldn't have got him out the day before, but it did seem like a glaringly obvious thing to do, especially given that Root is actually a more than serviceable spinner. I tweeted out somewhat flippantly later that he became the first man to take 62 wickets and score 11,440 runs. But there is a point to that, which is that he is a very effective fifth bowler in Indian conditions and generally in the subcontinent. So it was a little baffling to see him used so late in this innings, when a lot of the damage had already been done, frankly, once they got to over 100 for one overnight on day one. And it was also a little concerning to see Jack Leach bowling such short spells. I wasn't quite sure whether that was perhaps taking care of him because it's his first-class match after his stress fracture. But it puts in sharp relief, doesn't it, England's bowling problems here, which is those three spinners. And we've known that. And it was no great surprise when it came out that way. India's batters played them really well. The amount of turn that England spinners got was markedly less than the amount of turn that the Indian spinners got. And that could be because the pitch is easy, but that'd be a strange thing. I think it's more likely because of the amount of action that Akshar Patel, Rabindra Jadeja and Ravichandran Ashwin get on the ball, and England spinners don't get that. It's also their control of line and length, which England haven't had. So they've made it a little bit too easy for them to get away. But Leach was the tidiest of the spinners, and Root was probably the most effective of the spinners, and yet we still saw a lot of overs bowled by Hartley. So part of that, I think, is because he's picked and because Stokes feels he has to use him that way. The other side of this is that, you know, India have got a very strong batting lineup. They bat a long way down, as we saw in that unbeaten 8th wicket partnership. Akshar Patel coming in at 9. He's a hell of a player to have coming in down there. England don't have that. And England spinners at no point were ever able to go, as Kevin Peterson said so eloquently, bang, bang, bang. At that point, they actually needed to go bang, 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 because only 6 wickets were down. But the lack of banging was a bit of an issue for England through the day. So they're never able really to get any momentum going. I, unlike you, have always been convinced that this test series was a hiding to nothing and that it would tell us nothing about Bazball more than we already know, which is England are going to play on the front foot and try and cause problems for India and just try to mess with their brains a bit. And they can do that with the bat. It's really hard for them to do it with the ball because they just don't have the resources. But I think possibly it may result in what they won't see it as a rethink. They'll say something like, you know, this has worked perfectly to our plans. Anderson back in for the next game. That means that, you know, he doesn't have to play back-to-back test matches because there's a gap between the second and the third test. But really, I mean, Anderson bowling, and we've seen him do it many times before, 7-8 over spells of attritional difficult stuff, especially with his cutters on that pitch, I can't help thinking would have been more effective.
I take your point. I mean, the reason I sort of said to you at the start, India are just better than us, because I do think now, in the cold light of day, the team selection is probably wrong. There's a couple of things you said that I completely agree with. The Ben Stokes is captaincy, you're right. He does it on instinct, on vibe. And there was times where I was watching it today where I was like, he's overthinking this now. Because we both agreed Tom Hartley bowled a bit too much last night, but we understood Ben Stokes didn't want, you know, he wanted him to take a wicket. He was desperate for him to have that moment. And I completely respect that. But he took the wicket at long, long last. And it was a sharp catch by Ben Duckett at mid-wicket. But then what I couldn't make sense of was when much later in the day, I was looking at how many overs the bowlers had bowled. And by far, Leach and Root had been the best two spinners. And Hartley had bowled, I think, 21 overs when Leach had bowled 16 and Root had bowled about 12. And, you know, there's an expression that if you ever hear hooves in the distance, it's probably going to be a horse, not a zebra. You ever heard that expression?
I haven't, but I think I'm grappling with what it means.
It basically, it's mainly used for like conspiracy theorists that
right.
Don't go looking. That normally, what you see is what you get, right? Don't go looking. And I felt with Ben Stokes, sometimes he just overthinks these things. He's like one step away from being on the QAnon website and wearing a tinfoil spiky hat and thinking that the pitch is doing this. And if I bowl this guy here and if I do this and I set this field, and sometimes I'm like, or maybe Jack Leach and Joe Root are probably looking like your best two bowlers today and maybe they should bowl a lot. But the reason that I don't really care about the team selection too much is, you know, the names I've seen on social media today of Liam Dawson and Will Jacks and Jimmy Anderson. I mean, for me, it wouldn't even be Jimmy Anderson. For me, it'd be Atkinson that would have played instead. Because let's not forget, there's a bit of short-term memories here. Yes, Jimmy Anderson last time we were in India was brilliant at times, but he was bowling as well as I've ever seen him bowl going into that series. He had a difficult summer on very favourable conditions in England. So this might not be the Jimmy Anderson of yesteryear. And he didn't even keep it that tight compared to usual against Australia. So we haven't seen him bowl for 6 months and he's not getting any younger. So I think the thing is, we actually haven't said the score yet, but I'm sure that you know it if you're listening to this podcast. England 246 all out. India 421 for 7 at close. Liam Dawson, Atkinson, Jimmy Anderson, Will Jacks, you can name anyone. Nobody is going to change the fact that India are winning this test match. None of them would have made this result any different so far. That's the worrying part. I did say in the preview episode the other day, though, look, realistically, I mean, I still stand by that we're going to win 5-0. But say we didn't, and I know that sounds crazy, the question was, can England give India a bloody nose at some point? And that's going to be the question, not just for this test match, but for the next four after this as well.
It is. Look, and they are not uniquely difficult conditions, because you come across difficult conditions in Sri Lanka as well, but Sri Lanka don't have quite the same aptitude in their own conditions as India have in theirs. But I suppose it just puts into stark reminder where England are with this approach and with the players they've got. And I think they're making the most of what they've got in English conditions, and indeed out in New Zealand and on flat decks. Then they can compete because their batting is very dynamic indeed. But when they're in these turning tracks, there's only one side in the world that's really troubled India of late in their own conditions. That was Australia last year. And that's no coincidence. They had Todd Murphy and Matt Kuhneman as their backup spinners to Nathan Lyon, who, alongside Ravichandran Ashwin, is the best off-spinner in the world. He hardly put a fag paper between the two of them. So, you know, they actually had fire. They could fight with fire on pitches that really did rag. I think the other thing we've got to say is that this pitch hasn't done what everybody said it would do. I hasten to say that even if it had done, India are perfectly within their rights to create pitches like that. We've watched many test matches in England on emerald green seamers and licked our lips with joy as poor old Sri Lankans about to play at Chesterley Street in May on a pitch where the ball hoops around like nobody's business. So this isn't a start of having a go at these Indian pitches, but this one hasn't turned massively. It did turn on day one, but it didn't do, I tell you, what it did in Indore and Delhi last year against Australia. So I think the anticipated Bunsen that everyone was expecting at Hyderabad didn't quite materialise as well. And of course, if it ever does, then that might actually help England spinners, because it will slightly equalise things, certainly for Jack Leach and to a degree for Hartley, because the logic is still a sound one that a tall left-arm spinner driving it into the pitch is going to be more effective perhaps than Liam Dawson, who's a shorter spinner. But, you know, I'm afraid the flip side to that is that Liam Dawson's bowled an enormous number of balls in first-class cricket. Is much, much tighter, and England haven't been able to keep the run rate down. But you've also got to add to that that Stokes doesn't really care about keeping the run rate down. He incidentally manages to do that quite a bit because of the approach that other sides have to England. But India haven't. India haven't taken that approach. When the ball's been poor, they've put it away. And there have been too many poor balls that haven't turned on a pitch that hasn't turned square and therefore equalised the situation for them a little bit. It's going to be a long, tough tour. We haven't even mentioned Ollie Robinson, who has bowled off breaks, mostly because his back was knackered. But, you know, he might yet come into this series. England are going to lose the series quite convincingly, I think. But it's going to be fun at times watching it. It's not so much fun, though, is it, when your body wakes up at 4 o'clock in the morning and you watch and really not a great deal seems to be happening. That can be quite tough, I find. I don't know how you're getting on existentially.
Because I have to then go, I know that I've got to go to work that sort of leave about 9 o'clock. So I go and lie on the sofa at 4 o'clock, and then I sort of drift in and out, and I set an alarm for 9. But I'll tell you what India have done brilliantly, and we'll discuss this more in a proper episode in the future. But what they've done so well is every time the door is even slightly ajar and there's the faintest glimmer of hope, they snuff it out in about 20 minutes. They've done it so well. They know when to just block and grind and just kill our momentum. They know when to counter-attack. I mean, this is a side, they've won 16 home series in a row, which is a world record. It's going to be 17 most likely at the end of this series. They've only lost 3 test matches in that time, individual test matches. I mean, this isn't a shock, by the way. This isn't before English fans, which I've seen already some grumpy people on social media today. Like, this is meant to happen this way. But I'll go back to day one. We were 121 for 3 with Bairstow and Root playing well. Suddenly we were 155 for 7. Root and Bairstow went straight away. And then even in this innings, I woke up at, you know, I saw 159 for 3 and I thought, okay. And then 223 for 4. I thought, well, maybe if we can get them to 300. And then every time I seem to open my eyes, it seems to be getting worse. And they're just very good at squeezing any last glimmer of hope out.
Well, I mean, a great example of that was when 2 went, and the game had probably gone by that stage anyway, but when 2 went, the latter being Ashwin, to a silly run out, there's then a really solid, quite dull partnership between Jadeja and Akshar Patel to take them through to the close of play. Jadeja batted really well. I don't think he was massively tested. I think there were a couple of times when England could have done with having their review. There was one where I think might have found that was it Rahul would have been out LBW a bit earlier when Root was bowling round the wicket, because he was getting the ball to straighten from round the wicket, which is a devilishly difficult for the right-hander to face. Another reason why I was surprised he didn't bowl quite as much as he might have done. But England did burn all those reviews. And it's just another little note to the commentators that they don't reset reviews after 80 overs, and they haven't done it for 7 years. They confused the hell out of me when I heard that. There have been a few confusing things that I keep hearing coming out of the TV. But hopefully they can clear those things up as well. I know our WhatsApp group was filled with a certain amount of confusion at around about 8 o'clock this morning. One last fact. Well, I've got a fact for you.
The fact that Kevin Peterson started to sound more and more like Donald Trump as well, the way that he talks.
Yeah.
It's very, very bad decision. Very, very poor shot.
Very, very bad indeed. It's huge. It's massive, crazy
decision. Anyway, we'll talk more about this.
I've got a fact for you, though.
Okay, I'm ready.
Do you want my one fact of the day? It's not a great fact. That despite India...
Okay, actually, in that case, I'm fine.
it's a great fact, but it's not a great fact if you're an England fan. Despite India seeming to shut the door on England, it could have been so much worse. I believe it's only the second time since they have tracked this particular fact that the top five in a side have got out playing attacking shots. If you think about it, they're all out playing attacking shots that Sunil Gavaskar on every occasion didn't understand why they did it, because Sunil Gavaskar doesn't understand how anybody ever gets out, because there's no reason to get out. There's no reason to get out. Don't get out. But unfortunately, it's human nature, Sunil, despite having watched cricket for about 60 years. He still seems bewildered by any Indian batter getting out caught. Five of them, top five out that way. KS Bharat out. I suppose you might say on the sweep, so you could call it six. And Ashwin out to a run out, which is kind of an attacking decision. So England haven't really got anybody out. When you think back to that first day, that Akshar Patel ball that did for Johnny Bairstow, which was so beautiful. I mean, it's just a lovely ball. England didn't manage to get any wickets that way. And that's what I mean. It's a great fact, but not a great fact if you're going to bed tonight thinking, well, maybe we could get out the last three, attack against the Indian spinners, get ourselves to a sneaky 30-40 run lead with seven wickets in hand at the close of play, then maybe a declaration an hour before the end of day four and bowl them out on a ragging track. Is that what you're thinking, Toby?
Of course, mate. It's going to be 5-0. So essentially, you're telling us that essentially 421 for seven really is 421 for naught.
Yes.
Good. Well, on that cheery note, we'll say goodbye. By the way, voting is pretty much closing. It's closing this weekend for us to win Best Cricket Podcast at the Sports Podcast Group Awards. The link is the pinned tweet on our Twitter. You can also find it on our Instagram somewhere. Look, if you really care about us or Finney, but let's be realistic, it's us. If you care about me and Daniel, then you'll go and vote for us. No Balls are the huge overwhelming favourites, mainly because their cricket podcast doesn't entirely talk about farts, cats, assholes, you know, that sort of thing. So that's why they probably will win. But if farts, cats, assholes are your kind of thing, then please vote for us as Best Cricket Podcast.
And can I just make one plea that having lived through this era of undeserving leaders, and they're all over the world, people who have no right to be prime ministers and presidents, the most ill-suited people to these jobs, and it's not just in Britain and America, but all over the world these strange characters appear. And also, you know, if you're a fan of the likes of John Sargent and Anne Widdecombe staying on in Strictly way beyond the much, much better dancers, why should we be left out? Why shouldn't we be undeserving winners of something? I've never won anything in my life except Worst Dressed Man at Money Extra 2001. That is literally true.
Well, there you have it. Exactly. Forget the year of the underdog. This is the year of the undeserved, and we would like to be the undeserved because everyone else seems to be bloody doing it. So go and vote for us, and we'll do another one of these episodes tomorrow, which may or may not be the last one for this test match. It might all end tomorrow.
Do you think England can win by tomorrow, do you?
Yeah, exactly. Well, it's Baz Ball, isn't it? It's Baz Ball.
Raise a spoon to Grandma, who always took all the hungry cousins to McDonald's for McNuggets and the play slide. Have something sweet in her honor. Come to McDonald's and treat yourself to the Grandma McFlurry today. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba. At participating McDonald's for a limited time.
Sports Social Podcast Network.